Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 34 of our Journey with Jesus, a Lenten Reflection. Before we get started, we would like to invite you to look in the show notes and find the two links there. The first one is the Lenten calendar. It has all 40 scriptures that we're covering during our time together over the 40 days. And the second is a study guide, and it just does a deeper dive on the topics that we discuss each day. Mm-hmm. And it's a cumulative document, so make sure you look for that update every day and download the new one.
Yes.
So with all that businessy stuff aside.
All the businessy stuff, yes.
My handsome husband, would you love to read us the scripture?
Yes,
for tonight?
And I might point out that if they hear crackling and popping.
Oh, that's our fire.
That we do have a fire going in the background, so it all of a sudden just decided it's going to crackle and pop. But we thought we'd just set the ambiance
so
for you.
We're not eating Rice Krispies.
No, we're not eating Rice Krispies or chips or anything like that. Yes, I should probably read, huh?
Yes.
Our scripture today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. And we're going to read out of the NIV today. It begins, "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses."
This one's good.
It is. There's a lot to it.
There's a lot in it. And there's one thing that I know when we were preparing the study guide. We talked about the Mosaic Law, or, you know, the Law of Moses. Everyone knows who Moses is, right?
Charlton Heston, right?
No. Okay.
Ten Commandments?
From the Ten Commandments, yes. Okay.
I suppose you have to be old like me to be able to remember
But the real Moses.
The real Moses. The real guy.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So the real Moses, you'll associate him with the Ten Commandments. So we all know what that is. But the Mosaic Law, or the Law of Moses, actually is the Ten Commandments and another, 603 commandments? So 613 together, the first 10 is the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, it developed into those 613 over decades and centuries and became this huge, it's kind of like the tax law in the U.S. It started off very small and now it's like volumes.
Yeah, so when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt, God gave him the Ten Commandments. He wrote it in stone, if you remember, you know, the movie.
Yes, yes.
He wrote those on stone, and those are kind of the basis of the moral laws that we follow in the church today. We know, okay, those are probably things we don't want to do, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, they are the, when you just look at just the 10 that God gave to Moses, all of those 10 commandments are a revelation of who God is. And God is telling us in those 10 commandments, in order to be like me, you have to do these things.
Okay.
Only with the law at that time, you had to do those things if you wanted to live. Because if you disobeyed those things, the penalty was death.
Sure. And when we were looking at this,
so that's the basis of where it came from. And then it, of course, grew to
613. And in the study guide, because I was so fascinated, I had to read through the 613.
Yes.
So we have a link there, but it covered everything from the Ten Commandments. It had moral laws, social laws, food laws, purity laws, what they could do during the feasts, sacrifices and offerings, instructions for the priests, the tabernacle, and so on. Like, mm-hmm. It was so lengthy. Yeah. So I have a list there if you want to peruse that. We definitely take a peek at that so you can kind of put in your mind how hard it was for people to first of all, live. This is something they did 24/7, mm-hmm. 365 days a year.
From birth on. I mean, this was ingrained in their everyday lives from as early as they could remember.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember one of them was if you weren't allowed to plow a field with ox and ass together. Like, you couldn't have a donkey and an ox together and plowing a field. That was a sin.
Yeah. Punishable by death.
Yes. So.
Or wearing clothes of mixed of threads. You know, you couldn't have linen and wool woven together in a garment and put that on your body.
Or that you couldn't have a vineyard with other seeds planted in it. And if you did have other seeds that came to harvest, you had to throw them out.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
So it was just...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it seemed crazy. So it was really hard if you sinned and then you did whatever... What did they call that? Atonement? I don't know if it was considered...
Yeah, they had to make it the sin offering for atonement. And... In the New Testament, Paul really goes into that in depth in Romans and then some in Hebrews as well. That atonement, that sin offering, didn't get rid of the sin. All it did was cover the sin.
Like a Band-Aid.
Like a Band-Aid. So that you could continue on in your relationship with the Lord. And though it was covered, it never got rid of the guilt. Mm-hmm. And that shame and that blame and all of the things that happens when you know that you've sinned. So when Jesus was walking in his earthly ministry, this was the, well, he grew up in this as well. But when he was preaching, these were the people he was preaching to. They lived this. Some of them lived it very strictly, like the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. They were just hardcore law keepers, even though they couldn't keep it all 100% themselves.
And
they watch, and so they're very judgmental of other people. But they were professional law keepers.
Yeah, that's just crazy. I mean, I would be so much trouble.
Yeah, and you wonder why
like,
they say...
Which one was that?
Yeah. Yeah, is that 611 or 612? I get lost after about 500.
Yeah. I didn't remember those.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we thought it was important to just share that, you know, that context. But in the scripture, here comes Jesus and is the atonement for us, gives mm-hmm. his life for us. And it doesn't just, like you said, it doesn't just cover that sin, his blood washes it away.
Mm-hmm.
So washes the sin away where we're sparkling clean, like you like to say, squeaky clean, and we're just snow white.
Just as pure as Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's his righteousness, his sinlessness that's transferred to us, that's credited to our account.
And all we need to do is believe, like it says there.
Mm-hmm.
Through him, everyone who believes is set free.
Oh, wait. Doesn't it say through him that only some people who believe?
Nope. Everyone.
Oh, it says everyone.
Everyone that believes is set free.
Is set free,
from
what?
From sin.
Some sins?
All sin. I mean, it doesn't say some, so I'm assuming
it says
it's all.
Every sin.
Every sin. Every sin. A justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses.
Yep.
So you would never, like you said, never able to wash that sin away under the old law.
I'm so thankful that I wasn't born a Jew.
Me too.
I mean, as Gentiles, we don't have that burden placed on us from birth. You know, so it's very foreign to us to try and comprehend that. Even though we still have an internal knowledge of right and wrong that God gave every person on this planet, it's just so hard to fathom living under that huge burden constantly.
And the doing.
It's all doing.
Doing, doing, doing. You must do this. You must do that. And how could you be in a relationship with God when you're so busy worrying about the laws and rules and... Wait a minute, what's today? Okay, what happens on Saturday? I can't do that. What? Even one of the laws that I read, it said, you can't eat this, I don't remember what it was, can't eat this on the 14th day of Nisan. I'm like, well, I'd have to know.
Yeah, on the Sabbath day, you had to know how many steps you could walk. So if you had to go to the outhouse or the barn, you needed to know how many steps it was
steps.
From the house to the barn or the house to the outhouse so that you could do those things and come back without breaking the law.
Without sinning.
Without sinning, because it's punishable by death. It's crazy. Well, a lot of us have been put under a form of law through religion. And religious teachings, even in the Christian church today.
And even by just society.
And society as well.
You must do this, you must do that, you must wear this, you mm-hmm. must have that, you must, you must, you must, you must.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
You're free.
Free, free from all
Set
of that.
Free.
Guilt free,
from every sin. Now, is that only past sins?
Nope.
No, it's every sin. Because this was written before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died before you were born.
And knew what we were going to do.
Mm-hmm. And he died for every sin that was ever committed or would be committed on this earth by a man or woman, by a human. He died for that mm-hmm. and wiped it all clean. And all you have to do is believe and trust in that. And you are wiped clean.
Mm.
Mm.
I love it. And I
so
love
good.
That we don't want to wipe away the Old Testament. I know some people, I've heard people get confused and say, well, we only need to read the New Testament. But the Old Testament is, there's so much hope, there's so much love, there's so much setting up of the coming of Jesus Christ. And so it's not that we do one or, you know, read one or the other or believe one or the other, but there are those laws and the coming of Christ that shifts things for us. But it's not that we just wipe it away, because I have heard that, like, well, I don't read the Old Testament because we
yeah because we're
Testament.
Under the new covenant.
Yes, but there's so much.
But Jesus was the one that said to the Pharisees, you know, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but it's those scriptures that testify of me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's value. Even Paul, I believe it was Paul that said, all scripture was written for our learning.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much value in studying the Old Testament and so much of God there. For you to learn about him, about his nature, about his character, you can't just abandon that. But you do have to read the Old Testament through the lens of the New.
Yeah, and don't put it on a t-shirt unless you know where it came from and the context around it. Because I have heard that. I've
yeah.
seen that. For instance, you know, in episode 28 and 29, we talked about Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. And there's that little change of the verse, you know, in that verse of were and are.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know that, so make sure you read before and after and do some research on the scripture. Don't just pull it out and say, I want that on a cup. And then you're like, wait, that is
yeah.
not really what I meant.
Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of that. And then there's a lot of doctrinal problems that you can get yourself involved in if you don't understand who you are in Christ now and look to the Old Testament to find answers. That's a quick way to get yourself under the bondage of these rules and regulations. Yes, we know that the Ten Commandments say, for instance, you should have no other God before me. We know as believers that God is numero uno, and he needs to be numero uno in our life, right?
Sure.
As we grow in our relationship with him, he's going to show us areas where that may not be the case in our life. We may have other things that have crowded him out.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? There's not the penalty of death associated with that.
That's good.
So the moral law is still moral.
Right.
And it's still good because it's God's character and it's his nature. So the law is not wiped out. Jesus said it would never be wiped out until the end of the age. Not mm-hmm. one jot or one tittle would be omitted from the law until all be fulfilled. And we know that there's prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet.
Right.
Namely, his second coming.
So make sure you know what you're...
Yeah. Have to look at it through the lens of the new covenant.
Yeah. One of the scriptures is, you know, Song of Solomon. I have to always laugh. Song of Solomon 3:4. And I see it on shirts everywhere. I see everything, you know. The scripture says, you know, I have found the one my soul loves. But if you read before and after, you're like, whoa, okay, that's a lot more.
It's a little racy.
it's very racy. And I heard it. I'm like, oh, that's such a beautiful verse. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. And it still is, because it when is. You put the whole thing in context and it's this love letter. But you read it, you're like, whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. No wonder they just cut that part out for the cup. So I challenge you to go look at that Song of Solomon 3:4.
Yes. Yes. In case you thought the Bible was boring, that's because you haven't read a lot of it yet. And there's love stories. There's beautiful love stories. There's horrible arguments. There's death. There's destruction. There's excitement. There's birth. There's
other stuff.
Some pretty hot and steamy stuff.
Okay, now we're down a rabbit trail.
Yes, we have gone down.
But I had to share that because that was my one. I saw it at one of the hobby stores. They had the t-shirt or whatever they had, the cup. I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful plaque.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm blushing.
Yeah.
Read that.
Yeah. Well, and then there's that other one. For all of you that have been raised in church, I know that you've heard an altar call where someone gets up and talks about the scripture and quotes Jesus saying, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Right? They use that as an altar call to invite people to come and accept the Lord, then to show you that the Lord wants to come in and live in your heart. When you read that in the actual scripture that it's talking about, it is a scathing indictment to the church that he's talking to.
Oh, wow.
Because he's knocking on the door of the church. He's outside, they're inside, having church. And he's outside knocking, saying he's hoping that somebody will hear him and open the door and let him in.
Mm.
So it's really important to understand the context of the scriptures that you quote and that you read and that you
put on your study guides,
that you put on your coffee cup or your study guide or your t-shirt, and know how to give an answer to somebody who asks you about that.
Yeah. So we just went down a rabbit trail, but I think it's important to add that.
Yeah. How did we start on that? Oh my goodness.
The Old Testament, New Testament.
Oh yes.
Can't
yes,
cut one
yes.
out, but you need to read
for a little
before and
circle
after.
Right back around. So anyway, it's I love this scripture because it's so simple. It is so simple.
But packed full of stuff.
Yeah.
goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Juicy goodness.
I meant it's so simple for us because we didn't have that burden. Mm. It is so much simpler for us to just trust him for our justification and our forgiveness. Imagine what the Jews had to go through. Mm. Imagine why it was so difficult for them.
I'd be stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the peace of the Lord.
Yeah. Oh, that's why the peace was so important as a fruit of the Spirit.
Mm. Yes.
Well, anyway. How about we wrap this up and wrap it up with you praying us out?
I would love to. Why don't you join with me? I invite you to join with me and let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come together today with gratitude. Again, just so much gratitude for you. And we do these studies and we just learn more and more about your goodness, about your love for us, making a way when there was so much doing required, so much complexity in everyday life, but you made a way for us. You wanted to love us. You wanted to be in relationship with us. You didn't want us to be carrying the weight of the sin that we were just encountering every day. If we did one little thing wrong, it would be considered sin. Even in today's society, there's so much around us. We're bombarded with all the noise, all the things that society says we need to do. But God, you were just so thankful that, again, you just love us just where we're at. It doesn't matter what society says, doesn't matter what our neighbor says, doesn't matter what the news says. You just love us. Mm-hmm. And you've just washed all of those sins away. This doesn't mean that we don't live in a moral way. We do want to make you happy. We do want to do things that are right. But we don't have to be judged if we have a slip up. We just get right back on track and you're right there just dusting us off, lifting us up, and letting us know that you love us because we are in one with Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. We're so thankful that you loved us so much that you gave him up at the cross for our salvation. We just give you thanks and praise for everything that you've done for us, for everything that you will do for us, and just for loving us big. In your precious name, all God's people said, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is so good.
All the time.
I just love talking to him. Don't you?
Me too. Me too.
Well, that's it for us today. Thank you for joining us, brothers and sisters. Why don't you let us bless you with some perfect peace? Shalom. 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 We'll see you next time.
We love you.